Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. It's the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up.
It's late. Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in
wake
this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody. I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. It's Danger Studios here in Coral Springs, Florida on a Monday early evening here with Mr. Ethan Moore.
Hey, Dougie. Good to be here on a Monday.
That's right. And Ciro is out.
Yeah, Ciro. Second week out.
Yeah. You know, two strikes. You know what I mean? I love you, buddy, but...
He had some stuff with his dad.
Yeah, that was last week. But I didn't hear his dad did. You know? I always get worried. So I say, hey, my father's going for surgery, and then the person says,
don't
tell me anything.
You don't hear anything else,
nothing.
And you're like,
you're like scared to ask.
Right.
Is he all right? Oh, he had to get a mole removed up his ear. Oh, okay. He had me scared.
Thoughts and prayers, Ciro.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. Hope that mole doesn't fester. But he's going to be, I don't know, is this wrong? But I thought it was thoughtful of him. He says he's not feeling well.
Okay.
He woke up sick, which means he probably did an eight ball last night.
Oh, good point.
You know what I mean?
Damn.
You know what I'm just saying. Yeah. But he's going to do his open. He's have his open mic tonight. The night he's going to have his open mic.
He is.
So
how do you know?
Well, how do I know? He posted he's going to come
out
to
my show. Oh, he posted it. Oh.
So
wow, okay. Priority, Ciro. I guess we can see where your heart
now,
is.
I don't know if that's wrong or not. I don't know if that's wrong of me to think that way. I'm just. That's fine.
You always hear about that, right? Like people are like, they don't come to work and then they check in somewhere else.
Right.
What did, I don't know if you remember this. This is old radio stuff. But like back when Artie Lang used to be on Howard Stern,
yeah.
There was that whole thing where he would not show up to the show, but then he would have like a book signing in the afternoon and everyone would know.
Yeah, he'd do a gig that night.
And he'd do a gig, yeah. And he'd get in trouble with Howard because, you know, it's like, well... You can be there for that, but not for this.
Yeah, exactly.
But as an addict, I know what it is. He just doesn't want to be around people that know him really well because he knows they're going to figure out he's high.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the reason.
Like, you want to be exposed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when I said I used to have a little problem with things, I wouldn't want to, like, get up in the morning or, like, you know, I wouldn't want to eat dinner. You know, and nothing worse than after you do a little cocaine, you know, and your wife makes dinner, you're like, here, eat at your favorite. You're like,
Right.
I'm really not hungry. You know, when I tell my wife I'm not hungry, she obviously grows suspicious.
Yes, that's a good point. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
well, Ciro, hey, if you have a problem, you know, feel free to.
Yeah.
I'll save a chair for you in the meetings.
Maybe we should call Ciro and say, hey, buddy. You know, like,
give him a call.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's interesting, by the way. I was talking about something. I did a show this weekend and had a great time.
Okay.
And was proposed to, run the show.
Oh, wow.
You know, so.
So you showed up. You're supposed to, are you featuring, headlining? What's the deal?
I was opening up for somebody.
You're
yeah.
opening up for somebody. And then they say, hey, I'm terrible at producing this. Here, have it.
No. I guess the guy was doing shows, doing shows like I refer, like getting different people. And he was booking it kind of in a sense through referrals.
Okay.
Of comics, like asking, you know, a comic. And
oh, so he wasn't really equipped to produce a comedy show.
Right.
He just kind of was.
Even when we got started, they had a light that blinked like for a music band, you know, blinks and does different colors
and
shit.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much.
And thank God. I mean, you know, we had that one time at the old, at the Dubliner in Boca.
Right.
In Meisner Park. We did shows there, and they had the lighting that would just keep, you know, blink like for rock and roll or,
yeah,
you know, music.
It's changing color.
Yeah.
And,
you know, we tried it. We didn't know. And the one guy that was there, I don't know how to fucking fix it. You know, which we're trying to do comedy, and it's just like strobing from blue to purple.
It's really funny how many
yellow.
People, they do like comedy rooms, but they don't actually know that you need light and sound.
Yeah, spotlight.
Both of those two things.
Spotlight's like, good. You know,
you need
good
a spotlight, something like that, yeah.
You have to have a good, you know, it's like even when I asked the guy that with this place, is I, oh, because the guy I work with brought his own PA system, which is always, you know, that's, but there was no stairs up three floors. You know, I felt bad when I got there with him. Like, hey, buddy, I'm I'd like to help. I'm not walking fucking equipment upstairs.
Right. Okay.
You know, I don't be an asshole, but I got bad knees. It's hard enough to walk my equipment upstairs. So, you know, so, but then brought his own stuff. But then the guy told me, he's, no, I have a guy or a guy who plays music here that brings his own PA system, because he plays as people are sitting in and chilling out, and, you know, sitting down, ordering food, whatever.
Yeah.
But the only problem, sometimes the musicians' mics are set for, you know, like, oh, sole mio, you know, they're funny, you can echo and shit.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. I that's really annoying when people somehow they put on reverb, and I'm like,
right,
you just turn all the effects down to zero.
Yeah, everything's mid-range is all out, right? It's just all that shit like I have on this board. It's just, you don't need all that other, that echo and whatever the fuck
you
it
want,
is.
You don't want any, if you're doing comedy, you don't want any effects.
Zero. Set it at 12 o'clock.
You
at
can,
all these.
Well, you can roll off the bass, the low, the lowest EQ.
Right.
Sometimes, depending on the room and the size of the room, that's the,
you don't need much bass.
You don't need a lot of bass because people's voices aren't usually low enough to pick. It's not like you're playing like,
unless
a,
you're like me,
like a guitar. Yeah. if you do that Viagra commercial,
yeah. Hi, I'm Dougie. I use Viagra.
Yeah. So, but people, but it's really funny. Just the idea that it's like, this is a comedy show. It's so, okay, it's comedy, but it's a show.
Right.
So light and sound.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're there. It's strobing.
So that, so
you,
the,
you
some,
feel like
some,
you're
some, one of the staff figured it out, and they got it to a, like a, like a nice light purple. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it was fine. You know what I mean? It was white. It was white. You know what I mean? You could tell it was a little purpley, but, you know.
Okay.
I felt like
bad.
Prince for part of the night.
Right.
But it, the, here's the thing: it was packed. The guy packs the place out, and went up, had a great set, and then the guy after just started, you know, saying, "Hey, man, you know, you see, it was with the lights." And when the other guy was setting things up, I was like, you know, because we turn, like, he has an audio thing. There's no host. There was just something like an audio host. Like, oh, welcome to the show. A voiceover comes on and the speaker system,
okay,
and everything.
Huh.
But the problem is when we set it, like before the show, there's nobody there. And he goes, is it loud enough? The guy asked me who books it. He goes, is it loud enough? And I, is that it, by the way? I got a Orlando buddy. I goes, loud enough? I go, well, now it is, but there's only like five people in this big room. But I don't know what it's going to be like when there's 100 and some people in here.
Yeah.
So it was kind of hard. So that thing.
So you're, the point is you're basically like a roadie here. You're helping out.
And I've been producing shows, so I kind of know.
You know how to do this.
I know what needs to be done. And I guess that became evident. So the guy asked me, he's like, "Hey man, you know, we do this once a month. Would you like to do it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why not?"
Okay.
So, any rate, so we'll see what happens.
So some new things in the works.
New things in the work. I got a call back on an audition for a commercial. That's cool. Did I say that already? Or
you
said
that
before the show?
Or maybe that was before.
Yeah, for the listeners. You know, it's pretty cool. I did two auditions. I'm trying to get in the acting. I want to, you know, I figure if I can really like propel myself in my comedy career.
Right.
One of the ways might be doing it, if all of a sudden somebody sees me and I get like a part on a sick, you know what I mean? Or, you know, oh, that guy that's on TV does comedy too. Let's go see him. And then next you know, I'm bumping everybody up to headline in every major room.
That's if you can get a TV credit, apparently that's your ticket.
Well, or at least be on TV. You know what I mean?
Like,
or be somebody that, you know, or come up with some stupid viral video of somebody dragging me down the street because I won't let go of the door handle.
You're going to be Flo from Progressive. It's going to be Dougie from, you know, Allstate.
You
something.
Want me to jump that cactus?
Right.
Yeah, I wonder what I would be like. Do you think there's any good insurance companies that need, like, a spokesman? You know? Maybe I should be, like, the guy for Weight Watchers. Like, you know, they should have. That's what I should
before?
Do. No, not the before. Don't be so hacky. What I'm talking about is, but I like in other words, it'll be like you know, okay, like Weight Watchers has Oprah, right?
Uh-huh.
She's lost weight and stuff. But I'll be like the guy who's like, don't worry about weight loss. Join our club. We don't give a crap club.
Oh right.
You know what I mean? So it'd be
like a
you know what I mean?
It's like demotivational.
Yeah, and I'll be sitting there eating pizza. Look, I can eat whatever I want. You
that's a good idea for a commercial.
Right? Like you want to be this guy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's gonna the people that aren't losing weight, that's who they're gonna relate to.
Yeah.
And they're gonna they don't
so
want to be
are
that
the
guy.
Before.
I am
you're
I am,
the never.
That's right.
You're not
don't
the before,
be me.
You're the never.
Yeah. Okay. That's my new spokesman position. I'm the never guy. Welcome to the never weight. What was it? Don't matter weight club. I don't care my weight is. Why? Because it don't matter.
Don't give a shit.
I don't care. I'm married. My wife loves me. I got a lot of money. What's the difference? But I have been. I want to get in shape, man. I my stink eye things are for our listeners. I had a stink eye. I had this. I think we determined it was contact dermatitis.
Oh, really? From your contact lens?
No, I don't have contact lens, but okay. It's either that or the mascara I don't put on.
Okay.
Like women, right. Yeah, they showed pictures of it on like WebMD of like these women that have their right. eyes all, you know, rashed
or maybe it's the semen that doesn't get into your eyes.
Yeah, well,
all
you
kinds
know,
of things that don't happen.
You know, exactly. Well, that could happen after a while, after a buildup of a few days and you're in bed laying there. Like my wife's gone, so.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, did I ever tell you the story about the time we were doing the radio show and Elgin was our co-host, and he wanted something to use for the story, so I gave him my iPad. You know, he's playing on the iPad, and I guess he went to something and realized that RedTube was on there. He's like, and then it hit him that, you know, I use that iPad too.
Oh, right.
You know.
That's hilarious.
I multitask with that iPad.
So he's found your Pornatron 5000
and
there.
He's sitting there holding it and, right. and doing all this on it. And
yeah, yeah.
Flipping his fingers, getting my DNA all over his
he's
fingers.
Like, Dougie, can I get some gloves here?
Yeah.
A little yeah. Can I scrub in before yeah. the show? How does this work?
Exactly. So, any rate, so good things are happening. Feeling good. Yeah. And we have our show at the iHeart Theater. Sold out a week ahead of time. That was called the Bremen Performance Theater in
okay.
the iHeart Studios in West Palm Beach. So that's this Friday night. I'm there. Peter Leonard's hosting. Perry Sachs the feature, and I'm the headliner. Sold out.
Oh, wow.
Capacity a week ahead of time.
Nice.
They were real happy, which is good because I'm hoping to do that once a month.
Oh, congrats, man. That's
you know
really
what I mean?
Cool.
Once a month show in that theater. And that's the greatest thing about it. I don't have to advertise.
Right,
it is a captive audience. It is
yeah.
the Bremen Motor Cars Club members.
Yeah.
Preferred members. So they get this, all this stuff they get to do for free, man. So I'm not telling
that's
you to
cool.
buy a Bremen, but I'm telling you to buy a Bremen. Maybe if I do this long enough, maybe I'll get a free BMW.
That's true. Yeah. Well, this is going to be your thing. Maybe you're not the before guy. You're the Bremen guy.
I'm the Bremen guy.
Or the never guy.
The never Bremen guy. No, that's not a good hit. But we're sold out. So that was cool.
That's good. I just did the improv last night.
Yeah.
I did there. they had an open mic, and I can usually get on those shows. Without bringing people, which is pretty cool.
yeah, where's your people? Don't matter.
Yeah, so I've been doing that, and it was kind of rough because the guy right before me walked, like literally a third of
really
the audience. Well, it was toward the end of the show when I got on, and so a
which
lot
is
of people
tough.
Already.
How
left,
many comics yeah. went up at this open mic?
It was only like 14 or 15. I mean, oh, there's
5 minutes
there's,
each.
Yeah, there's shows though where they've done
20, 25,
oh, 22. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Show starts at 9, ends at like 2 in the morning.
Those are insane shows.
Those are the
know.
Worst to host.
Yeah. Oh.
When you host that, when you host an open mic with 25 comics,
that's rough.
You know, you yeah. feel like Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not when
except
he was alive,
everyone's
when
retarded.
He was, when he was not when he was alive, when he was dead.
So yeah, you know it's fine. Like those shows are sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. 15 comics is actually fine. It's like not
right.
not as bad as it could be. But you want to be in the first half, and I was kind of in the towards the latter because people will show up to see their person
right.
that they came to see. And so at this point, a bunch of people left, and then the comic right before me, I won't say who it was.
Come on,
he got up and he did this. He did his weird anti-comedy thing.
Yeah,
where he had the host pretend not to like say his name right, and then made him go back three times to the mic, and then
I really hate it.
And then he basically like. Intentionally like called out to people in the audience that aren't there, and so all it does is confuse the audience, and he's like
that's what you want
he's like ladies and gentlemen my parents and there's not a there's, there weren't his parents he was so there was just he was just fucking around with
I think
his,
I know who you're talking about without even you telling me
yeah I know there's one guy who does this stuff but it was I don't care except that he you
it's
know
an,
it's like,
an expression it's his way of that he thinks you know hey good work I wonder if you'll do it again but you know
I mean, it's fine. However you want to do comedy, it's you know, if you bring people in, it's an open mic, then like that's
thank
all fine.
Good for you, right?
Yeah, but that was brutal. Just having to go, having to follow that with a half empty theater.
Yeah, I know. Cute puppy, right? Ian Wallace. When am I coming back to Cosy? I was just there in January. I'll probably be back November next year, or this year, I should say.
We replaced the Ciro with the dog. Apparently,
yeah, that's our
Ciro's
new
co-host. Chair.
That's our new co-host.
You can see on Facebook.
He's actually talking a lot more than Sarah. I saw some pictures from Randy Vega put some pose on a local comic. He said that it was pretty packed.
The show last night?
Yeah.
It was packed in the first half. It's just that by the end, yeah. people had left. So that's
yeah,
what
that's
was.
The problem with the goddamn bowl. I remember when I would do an open mic at the improv and they'd be like, oh, you're going up 18th. I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to perform to a fucking kickball team.
Yeah, it's
you
rough.
Know. By the way, speaking of improv, I'll be there February 28th.
Oh, nice.
For the Nick and Trey show.
Oh, okay.
Showcase. I think I'm closing the show out, but
oh, that's cool.
I think there's 8 people where everybody's doing like 10 minutes. I get to do 15, I think.
Okay, I think I'm doing that in March.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Once a month show they do there, a fun showcase.
It's cool that they're doing that, actually. Yeah. Nice to have like a showcase that's not an open mic.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
It's a good thing to have. Yeah,
and we've been talking about that a long time. That's what a showcase does. You have open mics where people go out there. It's like an open mic to a comic is like a batting cage.
You want it.
To an
you
athlete,
need it.
Right?
It's necessary.
Right? You're going out there just shagging. You're out to, it's like a driving range for a golfer.
Right.
You know, let me try my short wood. Yeah, let me try my pitching wedge. You know, maybe I'll try my one-liners. Maybe I'll try my story. Maybe I'll try to do this. I'm going to N2 Wine Bar tonight. And boy, everybody going to be in Del Rey. I'm going to be at Nadim's room tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
N2 Wine Bar.
N2 Wine Bar. I'm going to be there tonight. I got some new things I want to try to work. I thought of funny stories that have happened. Like when my wife was training in martial arts and like our Hapkido class, you know, the instructor always pissed me off by getting her and putting her on the ground and like mounting her, like, and use her as a let me have Kaylin again come. I'm like, motherfucker, can you pick another chick, man? Why don't you pick Bob? He's bored. Bob hasn't been bouncing.
He's like cucking you right in front of the, yeah, the whole class.
He's winking at me the whole time.
Right.
He's on my wife. Yeah. I said, why don't you pick Bob? He hasn't been mounted in a while. You know,
that's funny too, because he's the instructor. He's like, yeah, come kick my ass if you want.
Well, you know, there was actually some funny stories because he was like, he's a little shorter than me. I mean, Hapkido wise, the guy would choke you to death. He was like, he used to train Navy SEALs.
Huh.
But in fighting, you know, we get in the ring. I put him down one time and it felt really bad. Like,
really?
You don't knock out your instructor. I didn't really knock him out. I hit him in the head. Right. And he was going hard on me because he would do that. He would go hard on you.
Right.
You know, and then I hit him with a kick, which was my devastating. And then he, you know, he had that like pony in the newborn pony. Like, he, you know, he started like wobbling around and I went, oh no. And next time I'm in ground fighting class, he's going to fucking choke me. He's going to ignore my first few taps.
Right.
Or he's going to mount my wife again.
That's what's going to happen.
That's what he's going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
If he had a choice. Kaylin, let's sit down here. We're going to do the rape prevention in the doggy style position.
Right. He's like, by the way, did you see the fight last night? Husband kicked me in the head anyway.
Yeah, you remember that? Hey, by the way, we're going to get real realistic here. We're going to actually make out for 5 minutes.
I've been doing a bunch of stuff in Miami, though. I've been getting on a bunch of shows down there. And I love audiences in Miami.
So yeah.
They, I kind of vibe with them a lot more, I find.
Yeah, right? Because they're weird.
They're
outgoing. They've done a lot of stuff.
They're down there. You can't shock them.
Yeah.
So I can talk about anything. Some of the audiences up in West Palm Beach.
I'm going to be that guy in TV, but you're going to be the Miami comic guy. You know, you're going to kind of be like that one comic out of Miami, the white kid that says he can only perform to black audiences.
Who's that?
God, I can't remember his name now. You know why? Ryan Barrett.
Ryan Barrett.
Yeah.
Does he really say he can only perform to...
That's his theme. That's who he relates to.
Uh huh.
And I don't know if that's a course you want to take.
Well, I want to perform only for white audiences, so I hope that's no.
I'm going to be performing at the Grand Wizards KKK announcement.
All are welcome. That's what
yeah.
I say.
Yeah, I get you though. I mean, look when I go to Off the Hook in Naples, you know, it's primarily an upper white middle class waspy kind of audience.
Yeah,
and I get along with them great.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I'm their neighbor that lives in their neighborhood through chance, you know, not because I actually deserve to live there.
Yeah.
And they kind of get along with me.
Right.
But I know they talk about me when I leave. Kind of like, though, you know, that type of persona.
Yeah. I'm there like I would be like their ne'er-do-well grandkid.
Yeah.
Like the one who went off track.
Yeah. Joni's grandkid's here again. You know, the one who was on heroin.
Right. Hide the good silver.
Yeah. He's coming over. Make sure you hide all the audio equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever have that, like, growing up when you had that? Because, you know, like, I mean, again, my brothers used to have problems like that, but my parents were never, like, they would always end up stealing shit. Like, my brothers my brother stole from me all the time. I used to hide money as a kid. I saved money as a kid. And next thing you know, I'd be wiped out of my $48.
Right.
Because my brothers would find it packed behind I had a teddy bear that used to have a zipper in the back where a music machine used to play. And I had this teddy bear when I had my tonsils taken out as a kid.
Okay, Teddy Ruxpin.
It was an older model, I guess. Okay. So I had it, and I would stuff the money in that little zipper thing. I thought it was the greatest hide, you know. But I guess my brothers figured that out
pretty quick.
Yeah. Huh. Where else am I going to put it?
No, I never had anything. She's like that because, well, first of all, we were super hardcore fundamentalist Christians. So stealing wouldn't have been allowed.
Yeah.
But then also because I never stole anything to to do drugs. I just worked really hard.
Yeah, I
just earned a salary, and then you use that for drugs.
Yeah,
which, by the way, I recommend that. There's no need to steal.
Yeah,
just go out there and get a good job.
That's right. Just have a way to fund your habit.
That was what I did.
You know, why not?
Many years.
So people worry about who you are. All right, here's some things that came up on my things I thought was interesting. Did you know that, Quincy Jones, the music producer?
Yes, okay.
And he's kind of like been a little loopy.
He produced Thriller.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, and we're a real well-known music producer.
Oh, yeah. This week I heard people mention Quincy Jones twice. Like there was some kind of a weird interview he did.
Yeah, he supposedly knows who killed JFK. That was one thing I'd heard.
Really?
That he heard that through somebody who was some famous woman he was having sex with, he admitted to.
It wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald?
Or killed Lee Harvey Oswald? It may have been. No, I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that killed him.
I'm assuming it wasn't. That'd be funny if he was like, I found this crazy conspiracy. It turns out it was actually Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes. I don't know if anybody read the papers. He actually says the Beatles were the worst musicians in the world.
Well, there's no accounting for taste, I guess.
Well, I mean, I always heard that George Harrison was a very overrated guitar player.
Okay.
Like if you ever hear the song, as my guitar gently whispers and whatever.
My guitar gently weeps, yeah.
Right? Which Prince had that great thing on that one, where he came out and wailed with all those guys.
Uh-huh.
And he did. You ever see that video of him?
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, just put Prince plays.
Prince Beatles.
Yeah, Prince plays the fucking. He's up there, and dude, it's one of his music shows or contests or whatever it was. Grammy. I don't know what it was.
Right.
But he came out there. Jeff. These guys are out there. Tom, who passed away. God damn it! I'm having a fucking moment.
Well,
Tom Petty was out there playing, and the guy from ELO, and it was just a bunch of people out there.
It's funny about the Beatles. They were so, how could the Beatles not be overrated? They were so impactful that, like, people were like, they're so good, and it's like, well, they're good, but
if it's easy for this generation to kind of be by on that, because this generation has no idea what it's like to actually be that, earth-shattering and get to that spot, right? They'll judge, based on hindsight, compared to other musicians. But those guys, it's like back in the day, the TV shows. Johnny Carson, well, now at night, it's a whole different story.
There's
you can watch a million things.
Too many things.
Yeah.
So I take it you're a Beatles fan, Dougie.
I know. I've liked them.
I was a huge Beatles fan when I was a kid.
I had three older brothers, right, like I said. So I listened to Aerosmith, Queen, Grand Funk Railroad, Nazareth.
Okay.
Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath.
I'm a huge Ozzy fan, huge Black Sabbath fan. Did you ever see, this is just reminding me, did you ever see the thing, do you like Pete Townsend, The Who, all that stuff?
Kind of like them, yeah.
Do you ever see the thing where Pete Townsend is dissing the Beatles? There's that clip.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where he's talking about,
he's like,
that shit. He's like, the other day we had the speaker on, only one speaker on, and you couldn't hear the vocals, only the music, and you listen to them, and they're just not very good at playing music.
Like, bing, 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 yeah. Bing, bing, bing,
And I was like, that is hilarious.
But it doesn't, if you take, it's almost like, I really agree with that now. Like, I was a big Kiss fan when I was a kid, right? Ace Frehley was my character I liked. I dressed up, like I used to play air guitar to the songs.
Those guys aren't like, quality musicians.
No, they're not.
Exactly.
Those guys were just guys who had an idea.
Yeah, they're creating an aesthetic.
Yeah, it was something different. It was a stage show. It was like rock and roll meets wrestling and cartoons. That's what it was. And, one of the greatest stage shows around. But as a musician, ever listen to Ace Frehley's leads? I mean, it was basically two finger, it really wasn't that, crazy. And Gene Simmons playing the bass. I mean, it wasn't,
It's about the show.
It's about the show.
My buddy Rich Kennedy, who I used to do the Sex on Kava podcast with, he's an old rocker from, from Long Island. And he told me Twisted Sister, because he said, he's in Long Island, he's growing up, and he's trying to make it in the music business, he's playing music and all that stuff. And then, he's like, everyone keeps talking about this band, Twisted Sister. And he's like, are they good? No, they're terrible. But they play in dresses.
They're wearing dresses on stage. You got to see them. Yeah, and then he's like, and I went on, and it's fun to watch.
I mean,
but they were terrible.
It's like, you know, the hacks to the Kiss were Motley Crue, because Motley Crue used to come out like that, like all, you know, made up and stuff.
Right.
And then Twisted Sister.
Right.
Said, well, no, we're not going to wear makeup. We're going to just dress like women.
Yeah.
Like bad hookers in a 1930 movie.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. But Quincy Jones said that, for example, he said Paul McCartney was one of the worst bassists ever.
Okay.
And Ringo, don't even talk about him.
Well, he's always notoriously supposed to be bad.
A horrible drummer. Okay, this is Ringo Starr, everybody. Ready? 1, 2, and 3.
His drum solos were always pretty like, okay, it's like a marching band or something. Yeah.
He's no Neil Peart.
No.
He's the
anti-Peart.
Yeah, so maybe here's a guy just speaking up. But the thing is, individually, they were probably not that great. Right, I think out of all the music. Now think about what they wrote.
Well, they tapped into something.
Yeah, they started something that you can't say. Okay, they weren't great musicians, but as a band, they were, you know, legendary.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Actually like John Lennon too. I listen to I like his solo stuff, which is like not as popular as Paul McCartney's. But like you think about the combination of Lennon and McCartney there, and they're creating some pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, speaking of powerful stuff, we talk about open mics. You know, I wrote this new joke. I said, you know, I miss the good old days in this country where the biggest fight was less filling tastes great, you know.
Okay.
And now with this political difference between us. But, you know, I don't know what's scarier, the political divide in this country or the fact that an asteroid the size of a blue whale zipped between us and the moon on Friday night.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, is it going to hit us?
No, it passed. It's not a boomerang asteroid.
Well, then I'm not scared of that.
Well, it just missed. And NASA didn't see it until like 2 days before it hit.
Oh, you mean it already passed?
Yeah, Friday.
Oh,
Friday.
I thought you were saying it's coming on
Friday. No, it was, you know, they saw it like on Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
And then they realized, you know, a blue whale's pretty big.
Is that big enough to hurt us?
It would fuck up somebody's day if it landed on someone's house.
Oh, wow.
I think it could destroy make a state.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was four times the one that went over Russia a few years ago that killed, like, hurt 1,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. NASA says an asteroid as large as a blue whale skipped past Earth on Friday, at least one-fifth the distance between our planet and the moon. One-fifth the distance.
Okay.
That's it was only discovered by NASA just 2 days prior. So, yeah, so while we're all sitting here going, you know, oh, I'm smarter, you're smarter, next thing you know, what's that rumbling sound?
Yeah, how about some more money for the space program?
Well.
Look at this. Elon Musk is making NASA look bad.
Well, they gave that up. You know, NASA gave that up a long time ago.
I know.
You know, they said, look, enough sending up shit into the atmosphere. You know, because it seems like the only thing that matters is putting space shit up there, like junk, like, you know, like satellites and stuff. You don't need to send people up there. Now the Russians and the Chinese and the United States are talking about putting bases on the moon. Here's another little story. You ever feel like sometimes, like people with hand, like you ever see like somebody with a handicap get a special, like in comedy, you know, like if like that kid who was on America's Got Talent a couple years ago, he had a speech impediment and stuff.
Okay,
and he ended up going pretty far,
like Timmy in South Park.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like he used to go, I don't know if he had stuttered or whatever the fuck it was.
Uh-huh.
And then like people in wheelchairs that get bigger laughs on stage.
Yeah, are you talking about Chris Rowe?
I'm not talking about Chris Rowe. I mean, he's funny at least.
You need to have a gimmick.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, Chris Rowe gets a few extra laughs because he's sitting up there in his wheelchair.
I'm sure that's true.
But here's a guy that got an example. Here's a story. 1,000 signed petition to remove judge who sentenced a blind man. Sentence blind child rapist. So this guy
he's blind.
No,
and he raped someone.
He raped. Okay. Sentence blind child rapist to probation.
So he's blind and he raped someone.
Well, I mean, what was the guy's defense? Oh, I didn't realize. I thought it was a girl, like an older woman, but it turns out she was only 8.
Well, what was the person's?
I was blind. I couldn't tell.
But how do you get raped by a blind person?
Yeah, you couldn't.
I mean, like, couldn't you?
They had the Marco Polo concept.
Wait.
Penis, pussy, penis, pussy.
I think you just like you just throw a rock, you know, in the corner of the room, and then he turns around and looks that way, and
the
then you run
like
out.
The guy was like Daredevil. He's the Daredevil rapist.
Yeah.
Petition to remove an Oklahoma judge who sentenced a convicted child rapist to just 15 years of probation is gaining serious momentum. Benjamin Lawrence Petty, well, it was petty of him, 36, was recently handed a lenient sentence by Judge Wallace Cuppage for a crime he committed while working as a cook at the Falls Creek Church camp in June of 2016. Betty, who was blind, allegedly told his 13-year-old victim that he wanted to show her a new type of device he had brought to the camp to lure the young girl into his cabin. That's a good move. I'm writing this down.
Okay.
Petty then closed the door to his room, tied the victim's hands behind her back, pulled down her jeans, pushed her face down to his bed, and violently raped and sodomized her.
Are you still writing, Dougie?
Yeah. I'm just using my cut and paste on my computer.
Okay.
Petty was arrested
13-year-old girl.
Following the attack and charged with the forcible sodomy, first-degree rape, and rape. Now, he was blind, so he only has probation.
Well, this is confusing. So maybe that maybe this is the rationality. Like, if he went to jail, then like that guy would just be dead, right?
Well, yeah. Like,
what are they gonna?
Yeah, you know, he's a rapist and he's blind.
He's a rapist and he's blind, so he's just gonna get like raped to death.
Yeah.
In the dark.
Is anybody in the shower with me?
Right. That's pretty terrifying to contemplate. But also,
but the thing is, do you think they're saying the judge must have had some leniency because the guy was blind? First of all, this guy is the daredevil of fucking blind people.
So you give him credit, is what you're saying?
No, right? I'm saying. I mean, think about it. He brought her into his room.
That is pretty.
He got it, and he was able to blindly be able to, you know, go through all that, get a tape, and do all that stuff. What an ass! I mean, you know, this guy's really. My point is, the fact that he's blind should make it more of a crime. Like he had to plan it more.
Right.
He had to have more. He can't just be a regular, you know what, I'm horny, and then lose it.
So, yeah, it's not like it's not like he just saw some hot girl.
Yeah.
He didn't see anything.
He didn't see nothing. He was just driven by his cock.
What's the point of raping, really, if you're blind? Think about it. I mean, you might as well just find a really ugly partner.
Yeah.
And pretend like she's hot. Like,
exactly.
What?
You could lube up a mannequin and enjoy yourself for a few days, at least.
Well, I don't know about that.
You're right, but you see what I'm saying? This guy, you know, this guy should be held more accountable. This guy is,
okay.
You know, I mean, you know, he's blind, and you know, if you're blind, you should be able to get laid. I mean, not to a 13-year-old, but I mean, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
But this guy's a pedophile.
Yeah, that's
the sickness.
But that's the thing. Like, couldn't you just, you know, you wouldn't have to know the age of the person. Couldn't you just, like, tell your wife or whoever to pretend like she was 13, and then you're like, you can't see her? I mean, what are you getting?
It's not like you're looking at her ID.
That's what I was saying. What are you getting turned on by? Like, he's like, oh, I love to look at that tight young asshole.
How old are you?
Yeah.
You sure you're not lying? Let me see your ID. Shit.
I mean, you should just get married. Just get married to some lady who's desperate.
Yeah.
And then have her tell you that she's a child every time.
You know what?
You can role play.
Find an old chick that has nice skin.
That's exactly
right.
You
know what I mean? Usually, like, my wife is beautiful, like
Asian
skin, no hair.
Go.
You know, black women have very soft, but, you know, the guy, they have beautiful, like, skin. If they use the cocoa butter, I guess, but always beautiful, soft skin. You ever with a black woman?
Oh, many times.
Yeah?
I love black girls, yeah.
You know, am I right? Am I calling that one out? I mean,
no, you're absolutely right.
You know,
soft skin.
The nice soft skin, so there you go.
Although, I don't know if that's the same as young.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not going to get too nuts.
Let's talk more about this, Dougie.
Yeah, what else do we know about the subject matter?
I don't know. Well, is justice blind? That's what we really want to know, right?
Here's something I thought was interesting. Now, when I was a kid, I used to get in. You know when you have certain, you know the fidget spinner? Like people have like nervous disorder, like it's that kind of that big thing that was going around for a while.
I read that was a thing.
Yeah, I had one for a little bit. I played for it, but that was it. You know, I like to be a little more productive with my fidgetiness. But that's what it was. So, but as a kid, did you have pimples?
Sure.
Did you pop them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a popper. I would like after a while, I would try to not to pop it, and then I'd be like, it looks so big, and I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, this is gonna be a good one.
I'll get like a washcloth and like rub it.
Oh, that what you did?
So, yeah.
So you're a little more clinical about it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, one of my buddies says, you know what you do? You get a really hot, you get a hot washcloth real nice and hot,
uh-huh.
And then you put it on the pimple, and then the thing, you know, the head comes to the top, and then you pop it, you know, and then boom,
right.
You know, big, like fireworks. And then, you know, and then, but I used to do that. And I used to have, like, my face, but I wouldn't get a lot of pimples, but I get a pimple, and I'd pop it, and it looked like, you know, somebody hit me in the face with a with a tin ping pong ball.
Yeah.
So, but there's people that dig this.
They dig pimple popping.
They love it so much that this one company built this little thing that's kind of like a fidget spinner, but it's like packed in little postulates of little, like a mat, and you press it and it'd make that, like kind of when you smoke one of those Camels with the thing you break to make a menthol, like you would squeeze it and it would pop and this little ooze would come out.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Isn't that? But this is a product that people are getting.
Well,
look at it.
You know, oh my God.
It looks like a piece of bread that has, I don't know, about 16 openings.
Yeah.
And you want to feel it, you just pop it. And
people are fucking this, right?
There's a special section of the internet reserved for those oddly satisfying videos. Yeah, you've seen the people on video that do that, right?
No.
They said, look at this huge zit. It's really, what that is a cyst.
Oh my
Somebody
God.
Pops a cyst and it's like, you know, like toothpaste of cyst juice comes out.
I am glad no one has
ever sent. We still got three people watching.
Yeah,
that's
I'm glad no one sent me a link to that because I would probably have to watch it.
You never seen these things where people say they show a video of people popping pimples?
No.
Wow.
And I don't want to. But if someone sent it to me, I would look at it. That's the problem.
Well, of course.
Because then I'd be fascinated.
What I can't look at anymore is when people on Facebook send me these these animal cruelty things.
Oh yeah.
I get mad now. I'm like, I don't need to see this. Although there was a story of this guy, these people that were poaching tigers or lions somewhere in the African safari lands.
Right.
And pride of lions got around them and it mauled the hunter.
Okay.
They killed him. Good. That's what hunting should be. You know, it should be.
There's no stakes otherwise, right?
Yeah.
It's not like Dick Cheney with the turkeys that they release in a cat of a cage.
You
want to shoot them, old man.
You want to be a real hunter? You know what they should do? You should take a pint of your blood.
Okay.
Spray a field with it.
Right.
And then you got to go out there with a bunch of tigers and shit with a gun, only about 9 bullets. Let's say there's 10 tigers. No, let's say there's 9 tigers and you get 10 bullets.
There you go. You can miss once.
Once.
Yeah.
And then if you shoot the one in the leg, you know, you're fucked. Don't waste the rest of the bullets and hurt the poor animals. Just let them eat you.
Okay. And you save that last bullet for yourself. That's what
that would be a good one.
Right.
You know, just sit there and they're running up.
Yeah. Let's raise the stakes,
would
hunters.
Think about that. If you see these lions coming at you and you're done and you got a gun in your hand and let's say you got one bullet left and you know there's like 8 lions coming at you to eat you.
Yeah.
You going to put it in your head so you don't feel the fact that you're getting eaten?
I'd probably shoot the last lion.
You would?
Yeah.
And then you let the other ones just maul you to death?
Just fuck you, yeah.
Oh, well, I don't buy that
at
all.
I think it would be really hard to turn a gun on yourself.
Yeah.
It would be hard.
Well, that's a decision you have to make. And then if you were born Christian, you would think, boy, can you imagine I'm going to go to hell after I've been good my life, and this
too.
Is a point I'm going to kill myself, and I'm going to be up by the pearly gates, and okay, you were good, You were very respectful to women, your family. You never lied, and when you did, you felt bad about it. And wait a minute, why are you here? Well, I had like 8 lions about to eat me, and I had one bullet left in my gun. I didn't want to get bitten by the lions. Oh, it's nice meeting you, buddy. Elevator going down.
Yeah, that's funny because a lot of Christians were killed by lions by the Romans.
Yeah,
so they're probably all the martyrs are up there.
Mm-hmm.
They're saving a seat for you. They're like, hey, here's another one about to be eaten by lions. He's going to sit next to us, and then you kill yourself, and now it's like,
pussy.
Oh, there's another seat further down for you, I guess. Yeah.
You're going to be doing push-ups and Satan shit. Anyway, speaking of Satan shit, I think it's time for.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure. Some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
I always laugh. We're the only newsroom with a typewriter.
That's right. Keep kicking it old school.
That's right. Welcome to... It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. Unlike the fact that somebody got eaten by a lion. blind man with phobia of dogs given new lease on life thanks to the UK for his guide horse.
Hmm.
Yeah, we had the lady that tried to get on the plane with a peacock. Remember that, like, it was on this show or not? But
okay.
She had a support peacock instead of a dog.
Oh, I see.
But,
it's like a service animal.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it's for a blind man. Instead of a seeing eye dog, he got a seeing eye horse.
Yeah, now it's not a big horse, one of those miniature horses.
Well, here's my question.
Look at him. Look at the little horsey. He's cute.
Okay.
That would be nice, you know.
Here's what I'd like to know. How does the horse help you rape?
Yeah, this is a different story.
Oh, okay, I'm confused.
We don't want to make all blind people look bad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, one blind guy rapes 13-year-olds. Hey, I want you to come see my new
equipment.
You
know what? I think this pedophile should not be able to have a horse, Dougie.
Yeah. By the way, Joseph Nay says, congratulations on this audition. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Oh, hey, Joe.
Good job of the night at the Backroom Comedy Club.
Joe Nay, good guy.
Every Little Pony, blind man with phobia of dogs, given new lease on life thanks to his UK first guide horse. So the guy's blind.
But
he's a guide, yeah, but he's scared of dogs.
Okay, well,
boy, this guy's just a born fucking loser.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
What the hell? So we give him a horse.
Yeah, BBC journalist Mohammed Salim Patel is due to receive an 8-month-old American miniature horse, Digby, to help him get around and about.
Well, is he going to ride it?
No, it's too small.
Well, that is silly. Why don't you just ride the horse everywhere?
Well, the horse, which only stands 2 feet high, will even help the 23-year-old Blackburn man with his household chores, just like a traditional guide dog.
What the?
But when that horse takes a shit.
Oh, my God.
It's not like you're going to, you know, sometimes a dog takes a shit.
Yeah.
Like my dog shit, dry shit, you know, so right. It could be sitting there. You never notice it. And like some dogs that worse, they'll take, oh, what is that smell?
Like steaming shit.
I mean, a miniature horse, imagine,
oh,
I mean,
my
it's
God.
Got miniature poop, but.
Still big.
It's still horse shit.
Yeah.
Mr. Patel, who has degenerative eye disorder, and it's degenerate if you ask me, called retinitis pigmentosus, said, I have a condition where I lost my vision and I have come across lots of people who have guide dogs. But I have a big phobia of dogs. That's why I'm not able to work with them, he says. But a horse is fine.
Well, I say get over your phobia of dogs.
Yeah.
Get a regular guide dog.
You know, that's
a horse.
What's, I mean, a miniature, that's like saying, you know what, I got phobias about tigers, but I don't mind that Bengal, that mountain lion.
You know, I'm making fun of the guy, but he's blind, and if he can afford a guide horse, then who am I to say he shouldn't have one?
The tiny helper's ready to move in with him once he completes 2 years of intensive training. So this guy's got to wait 2 years.
Oh, my God.
The guy's going to be bumping into cabinets and shit waiting for his horse.
I still feel like, what's the point of having a horse if you're not going to ride it? I mean, think about how many of the problems that would solve if you're blind, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're worried about crossing the street. You're worried
you could trade in your car.
You could literally just get rid of your car. You're worried about how you can't.
Get a real horse.
You just get a full-size horse and ride it around town. It's your eyes and ears.
Fuck. Those guys think it's small. Small horse. Mr. Tell told the Lancashire Telegraph he needs to get used to being out and about in Blackburn. I also think I will have to give myself an extra hour to try to get around my daily routine as I will all want, people all want to come and touch my horse. Yeah.
Hey, sometimes people come and touch my horse, Dougie.
They
know.
Do too, but it's not that small. Yeah, it's always nice. My wife left her there. I asked her to touch my horse. Now, this was a great story. I think it's, you know, we're going to talk about it last week, but. Scouts eye whether a cookie seller near pot shop broke the rules. And a very smart young lady who's a scout or a Girl Scout.
A Girl Scout, okay.
In San Diego thought it'd be a good idea to sell her cookies.
Right.
Her Girl Scout cookies outside a pot dispensary.
Okay, but with pot in them?
No, she's a Girl Scout, dude.
So she doesn't have the special cookies.
These aren't edibles. I don't, from what I understand, the Girl Scouts don't sell edible cookies
well,
yet.
Well, who wants that?
Well, if you smoked a big bowl of weed, you might want some thin mints.
Oh, I see. I get it. Oh, yeah. This is a smart kid, actually.
Yeah. Smarter than you. You couldn't even recognize it when it was proposed to you.
I'm like, who would want regular cookies? Ugh. They're coming out with a bag full of pot brownies.
What there was probably some mean kid who had no hope for anything, and she was, you know what we're going to do? She was probably going to go, here's what we're going to do, Susie. We're going to go sell our cookies outside a weed dispensary. And the girl said, no, you don't know what you're talking about because we don't have weed in our cookies. Nobody's going to want our cookies. You're dumb. And she walked away, and she fucking sold 3 boxes during the sales, and this woman sold 14,000 gross.
You know, apparently I lack vision.
Yes. Well, that's all that heroin again. See? See what happens with decisions you make, kids? San Diego Girl Scout Council is looking into whether a scout who was photographed selling cookies outside a marijuana dispensary broke any rules. Officials were trying to identify the girl and talk to her family because she was in a commercial area, which is not allowed. Council spokesman.
They're looking
Barry
for
Dole
a
said.
Reason. They're looking for an excuse.
They're pissed their kid didn't think of it.
Yeah. So did she sell the most?
The girl wearing her green vest and badges is clutching boxes of cookies outside the front doors of an Urban Leaf, which is a dispensary in California, which was widely shared on the internet. Urban Leaf founder Will Sen said the girl was with her parents and was just passing by with her wagon Kids still have wagons?
Girl Scouts, too.
He said he likes to support local fundraising efforts after he gets high, of course. Cannabis is now legal in California as a direct. Yeah, we know. We wish we lived there. The photo drew praises and criticism. Again, this is the division in our country. There's people that can recognize talent, give it credit, say that's a fucking smart person. And then there's the assholes who hate their lives, who fucking blame everything on everybody else. You know, the ones that want the government to do everything. Then they fucking said, that girl should be, she's doing it wrong. That's not right. Meanwhile, they're going to go and cheat on their insurance and screw their insurance company because those people are hypocrites.
You know, I just hope the Girl Scouts in Florida here get the same benefit soon. You know, when are we going to have recreational weed
in Florida?
I know.
Let's test the Girl Scouts of Florida. Can we? Can we get a bunch of dispensaries, please? As Girl Scouts, we assume good intent, Doyle said. When we learn that a girl is in violation of standard/guidelines, we almost always discover that the parent was unaware of the rules. If the rule is broken again, the girl could lose the award she has already earned, all those patches. So, yeah, that's
I'm
the idea.
I'm just a little vague on what she did wrong here.
Well, they're saying you're not supposed to sell in a commercial. Like, you're supposed to sell it
door to door.
Yeah, like, but that's crazy because every time at Publix when they sell Girl Scout cookies, yeah, there's always these girls sitting out there.
They never look up that regulation normally.
Right.
But they're just like,
now
she figured out that potheads like cookies.
She's going to sell more than my daughter.
Yeah.
Can't have that. That's right. Somebody's going to squash that ingenuity.
It's a little bit. It's funny, though. It's like, it would be like if you were hanging out outside like Fat Camp selling cookies. Mm-hmm. Or it's like people have a, where people have a weakness.
By the way, I mentioned this last week, and you know, this Me Too thing, this is where you know things are getting crazy.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you go from, okay, that's a valid, everything's fine, we get it, that it's good that people step up. And then when you know people have crossed the line, like they don't know what they're doing with it, is the feminists.
Yeah.
School faces backlash for canceling father-daughter dance to follow gender guidelines.
Was that the music from the dance?
No, it's some stupid commercial that comes up when you pull up a story. A New York elementary school is feeling the burn, including the Donald Trump Jr., for canceling a father-daughter dance to adhere to state gender guidelines. See, that's how fucked up it's getting in liberal New York.
Why is there such a thing as state gender guidelines? I don't even feel like those three words should be in the same.
PS 65 in Staten Island in New York scheduled its father's best guy and daughter dance for February 9th. However, it was suddenly axed, according to the New York Post, when the Parent Teacher Association, you know, these people have nothing fucking better to do, concerned that it violated gender guidelines. Something that's been happening since school itself. These people, this is wrong. Again, more people that think they know better than everybody else. This is what we're talking about here.
Well, to be honest, I don't have a problem with the local PTA making decisions because they're the locals. They should make decisions about how to run their school.
These people need term limits.
All right.
It's been these guidelines were passed in March of 2017. Per the guidelines, gender-based policies, rules, and practices can have the effect of marginalizing, stigmatizing, stereotyping, and excluding students. Well, if you have a father-daughter dance and you don't have a daughter, guess what? Dad doesn't have to fucking go to the father-daughter dance unless Jimmy thinks he's Jane. Is that okay?
It is funny that, but like normally, like we have things in our society that we do, just like anything that you can choose to do.
Right.
I don't know what it could be. It could be a job, could be a career, could be a hobby.
Right.
And all these things have some skills and abilities that are required to do them, and then some skills and abilities that don't help with doing them.
Right.
So isn't everything like marginalizing everything all the time?
It is. It's part of life.
Yeah.
Not everything fits it. Not all square pegs fit in a circle hole.
There's categories and things.
There's things. These are what they call influences. These are things that are the oddities of the cosmos. You know, these are the things that you don't really need to explain, but yet they exist. Therefore, why do we ask what they are, and who are we to tell them to get rid of it or not?
I'm just sad that my father never came to the father-son dance.
Yeah.
You know.
My dad never had time for that shit. But my dad did have time to take me out to the soccer field, teach me how to kick a soccer ball.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So those are the things I got. You know? Maybe if I would have went to the father-mother dance or the son-mother dance or something, you know? Maybe I would have... Yeah, who knows? You know what I'm saying? This is my point. This is why... You know, these are the fucking rules. See, this is why when some people say, oh, they're... You know, if you get rid of rules, that's bad. No, sometimes rules are written just to cover stupid ignorance. And then guess what? Ignorance is perpetuated because these rules are then followed, and then all of a sudden it becomes a trait. father and son. We can't have a father-daughter dance. The last thing we want to do is have these girls respect any man. We want them to hate men. Hate them. They're all assholes. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's the benefit. If a daughter has a father.
Right.
You know, like I think of it.
Generally a good thing.
Usually a good thing. And, you know, if a son has a father, it's usually a good thing. That's why we're finding out all these fucking problems. You know, that the problem we're having in life is that most kids, it was evident in the black communities. They said it was a big problem. And it's been growing in the white communities because it's an economic thing. It's a flow of things. It's not a racial thing. It's the way things end up going. So it's like one side or the. So everybody's eventually going to deal with it. But if a kid doesn't have a father, guess what? Why does he like Barbie dolls? You know, why does he have a hard time like standing up for himself? You know what I mean? That's just it. That's a balance of a parent. You know, that's just the way it works.
I mean, having a stable home life is really important.
It is.
And a lot of people don't have it. So
no.
I would say that's really the bigger problem rather than things like this. Like, oh, are we marginalizing someone by having a traditional dance? To me, these things don't cause huge social issues. What really causes issues is actually having a lot of absent fathers, absent mothers.
Think of the damage. We're going to worry about, listen, on top of worrying about those problems, we're going to worry about this problem, about what could possibly, about the kids getting the wrong idea. You know, because there's somebody, you know, here's what happened. Somebody who doesn't have a father said, I wish I can, this isn't fair, I can't go. So these people shouldn't have this fucking thing. You know,
right.
So that's, you know, there's people like that were complaining. Some lady said, it's not fair because she made her husband leave. You know, because she didn't like the fact that he went to strip clubs and he went every once in a while and came home with glitter on his face. So she got divorced.
This is getting personal.
Well, it's some guy, you know. But you know what I'm saying? That's the thing. People complain. That's why they complain, for their own perspective, their own benefit.
Meanwhile, I had great parents, both parents in the home, raised very traditionally, hardcore Christian, all that stuff. And I ended up a heroin addict. So,
yeah.
You know, you just can't predict.
Yeah, there's always those rejects.
I'm one of those outliers.
That's right.
That's
man.
Right. I'm at the edge of the bell curve.
You could have
the
Pope and Mother Teresa be your parents, and you still would have fucked up.
Still would have been gay. Wait a minute. What?
just came out. So I don't know. Where are we at in time? Okay, we got a few minutes. So listen, that's the thing. Like, I was a stepfather when I met my wife. My stepdaughter was like 4 or 5 years old.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And her dad's around. He's a good dude and everything. You know, and I was always respectful. You know what I mean? I mean, I tried, but even then it was tough because it was like, you know, I'm trying to be somewhat authoritative. You know, I would remember I told her, this was one thing, I've mentioned this on the show before. I think she was like 8 or 9. I took her to one of these gymnastics schools, and I even said to her, I said, you know, when you're going to be like 18 years old, 19 years old, and if you don't do anything, whether it's music, athletics, you're going to be sitting there, and all your friends are going to be, oh, my friend knows how to play the piano. Oh, my friend, you know, ended up, she's an amazing gymnast, whatever, you know what I mean? And you're going to, what do you do? Oh, I play on my phone, you know, and
right.
you're going to be mad. So she came out when she was like 18, 19, 20. She says, you know what? I really remember you telling me that. And I wish I had listened.
Oh, so she didn't do it.
No, she was like, she didn't think she could do it.
She just looked at her phone.
Well, back then or whatever it was, sketches, you know, but my point is.
But you were right. I was trying.
But, you know, as a stepdad, it was hard because.
I thought she was going to learn to play the piano at the end of this story.
Yeah, no.
It just turns out you were right about telling her she should have.
I should have. I mean, you know, but it was funny because one time she goes, you really should have pushed me. I'm like, well, you know,
your father's job.
Yeah, it was his job. You know, right. I'm only the substitute teacher in this situation. Yeah. I only have so much authority.
Right.
You know, and that was a weird thing. So. All right. Now here's a story that came out. This is just, I was just going to save this one, but this one just came out, which is interesting. This is a bit of a reflection of how we are as people, right? In this country. It happened here in Florida, I believe. Waitress stiffed a tip on a $735 takeout order.
Huh.
Then fired after she complained about it on Facebook.
So she got stiffed, or she stiffed someone?
I don't get it.
The phrasing of that headline is weird.
You read it. I'm the idiot here. Tamlin Yoder, 25, of Lake Park, Florida, lost her job at the Outback Steakhouse after she complained in a social media post about not getting a tip.
Hmm.
Christ Fellowship Church placed a $735 takeout order and sent someone to pick it up. They did not leave a gratuity. Now, I wouldn't either.
Because it's takeout.
It's takeout.
Yeah. So I don't usually tip with takeout.
I tip
to most people. Sometimes I'll throw a dollar or two. If there's a jar sometimes.
Whenever I'm at Starbucks, I get coffee, all the change goes in there.
Yeah.
I don't wipe change in my pocket.
But I'm not like tipping 20% on takeout.
Yeah.
Right.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I just paid up, you know.
Right.
So, that's the first thing I'm thinking.
Okay. Although that is a big order.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like there's sushi. I mean, what was it? We take the order over the phone. We put the order together, take payments, and take the order to the car. Yoder told the news. It's a lot of work. What a lazy fuck. Listen, I need to see a picture of that, but I bet you she's a chubster.
Well, you know, in Florida, you get paid like $2 an hour to be a waitress or something, though.
You know, it's not like you had to sit there and take the order of 700 people. You know what I mean? The order was there. It's cooked. Then somebody gives you a few bags. Oh,
you should tip. You should tip the kitchen, really, because they're the ones who have to make $735 worth of food.
Hmm. Yoder took the Facebook in frustration and called out the Christ Church on not leaving a tip, but didn't mention where she worked. A friend of Yoder's told her to delete the post and that he would call the church about the tip. When Yoder came into work the next day, she was told that the church had been given a full refund and that she was fired.
Oh, wow.
God spoke.
A full refund.
Yeah.
So don't tip. You might get your money back.
Is
that the message here?
There you go.
What the hell?
Churches don't pay taxes. Now they don't pay for their Outback steaks.
This is a terrible message.
Kathy Koch, of spokesman of the Outback Steakhouse, told the news that it's company policy to not allow employees to post on social media about the customers.
People are such idiots.
And that's it right
there.
Media. You don't do that. Yeah. I don't care.
You can be frustrated. But
people are going to get mad like, oh, this is just the church. No, this is a company policy where you see, there's a reason why if this girl had a name tag, it didn't say public spokesperson.
Right.
Say the person in charge of marketing and relationships with the neighborhood.
No.
So she outstepped her bounds.
Public relations representative.
Guess what? Now she's not going to get paid at all. Good move.
Well, she probably would be better off somewhere else.
The church says we did not call the restaurant to have her fired. We wanted to get the situation resolved.
She's like, Jesus did the rest.
Yeah.
We
we left the rest in God's hands. We did not call the restaurant, she said. Said David Lonsbury, an executive director of the Business for Christ Fellowship, in an interview with them. Lonsbury went to say that the person they sent to pick up the food didn't realize that a tip is customary on takeout orders.
Is it, though?
I would be guilty of the same thing. And I don't consider myself a dope.
Right.
Some people do.
Because I figure you're tipping to eat in the restaurant.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, when somebody, like, the fact that she brought it to the car... You know, like, if
that's
I'm sitting,
nice
like, I'm
you.
Thinking $795 of food. Okay,
that's
so that's not just in one bag.
Right.
So this chubster's probably walking
her,
back and forth.
Throw her like $10-$20 or something.
$5-$10 at least. You know, $700. If she had like, it looks like she's like helping you move.
Right.
You know, that would make me think. Okay, maybe I should give her a tip.
I've never had anyone. If I were to take out takeaway, I never had anyone come and bring it to the car for me.
I know.
I have to go into the restaurant.
Well, I've never ordered $795 from the Outback either.
I never
either.
Have either, yeah.
Yoda, he probably didn't know the tip since it was a rush on the last moment thing, said Lonsbury. The volunteer was sent because Outback's delivery service was delayed.
Oh.
Yoda is looking for a new job and says that she'll stay in the service industry, even though she's not cut out for it. One day I would like to own my own restaurant, and we all say good luck with that.
Is that what she said?
Yep.
That's funny. What's going on, though? Why does the church need $795 worth of... They're really upgrading communion over there, you know?
It's like... It's the body of Christ, barbecue, potato chips.
Yeah, enough grape juice and bread. We're going to steak.
And Jesus said, this blooming onion is my body.
That's right.
This Victoria prime rib is my soul.
That's how salvation is done.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Speaking of that, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up with Dougie Show. I want to thank Ethan Moore for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Dougie.
Thank you guys here on Facebook for watching us and sticking along with the show. Don't forget, we'll be here tomorrow. Myself, Peter Leonard, and Elgin David will be back in the studio probably right around 4:30 or 5, so watch for our post on that. If you don't go, if you're not already listening to us in the audience, go to Wake Up Late with Dougie Show fan page on Facebook and follow us. We appreciate it. Like us. Sometimes we put stories out there we think you should read and the stories we talk about for your own edification. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Go to DougieAlmeida.com. A good buddy of mine in New York says, dude, I went to your website. It's great.
Nice.
As a comic. You got a fucking real professional.
Okay.
And TJ Alcock from the TJ Marketing and stuff did it. But go to DougieAlmeida.com for dates. I got, like I said, I got stuff coming up. We're going to be at the Improv. Going to be at Dada's headlining there on the 27th.
Oh, nice.
In Del Rey. And got some other stuff. I'm going to be at Speak in Miami. Great venue on the 23rd of February. Doing the highlighted comic of the night, which is going to be fun.
Cool.
And Vegas is coming up. Some other stuff, so check it out. How about you, Ethan?
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram. I got some shows coming up. I'll post it on there. It's at Ethan Is Not Funny. Also, really important, listen to my political podcast I do with Miami comic John Gregory. We talk about politics and like anarchism and stuff like that. That's Me and Ann Soli. You can get it on iTunes and there.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for listening. And we'll be back here tomorrow, right here at the same spot.
People on earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Set fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Imagination to the